Today's daf in Besechet Yevamot brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Tzadi, and we continue in our investigation of Rav Chisda's approach. So let me remind you what's been happening. Rav Chisda was brought in here on a tangent, and the purpose of the tangent was to examine the premise in the Mishnah of the way that the Chachomim were mater a woman al pi eid echad, and they did all these other things which we weren't able to figure out how they had a right to do. So Rav Chisda, when he was talking about the din of Masechet Trumot, he said that in a case where a guy gave truma, that he took off something that was tummy to be the truma, something that was tahar, it's not considered to be truma, even though midiraisa, it definitely is truma. And so the questioning against Rav Chisda was, where do you get the idea that the Chachomim would be able to take a D'oraisa and to be ochre the D'oraisa, turn Truma into non-Truma? And Rav Chisda, of course, immediately said, well, what the heck? I mean, look at the Mishnah in Yevamos, which is, of course, our sugya. And he started bringing rayas from our Mishnah. So first he talked about the idea of how could the Chachomim make somebody a mamzer, because they made over your mamzer, mizeh, mizeh. So they made someone a mamzer, but if you make someone a mamzer, then he's going to marry a mamzeret, which is being ochre and yisur d'oraisa. The Gemara answered, no, he's a mamzer in that he can't marry a mamzeret, but he's not a mamzer in that he can't marry Yisraeli, but he also cannot marry a mamzeret. Okay, so then Rav Chisda brought a raya from the fact that a person can be yoresh his ishto ketana. And how could that be since midiraisa, the Yerusha, because the ketana here was talking about a ketana that was married midirabana. And the Gemara's answer to that was hefker bezdin hefker. Then he brought a raya from the fact that a husband who's married to a ketana and he's a kohen can be metame to his wife. How can a kohen be metame to his wife midirabana? That is being oker a diraisa. The answer that the Gemara said, we considered her to be a mate mitzvah. Okay, we had the explanation yesterday. How does that work? With Tosus's points and so on. That's fine. I'm just going through all of the attempts that Rav Chisda has to prove his contention that the Rabbanan can be Oker and Isser D'oraisa. So the next thing he said was, and this was the last thing we had yesterday, the next thing he said was, how can they say that if he has an Isha Katana, which was only a Kedusha D'Rabbanan, that if he's a Kohen, he can give her Truma? That's an Isser D'oraisa. So apparently we're being Ochre and Isser D'oraisa. The Gemara's answer to that, which was the last words that we had yesterday, it's talking about Betruma D'Rabbanan. Those were the last two words we learned, which are the top of Daf Tzadi, and we're up to his next proof. Okay, so we're continuing on with the proof that Rav Chisda is attempting to bring, that somehow or other, the Rabbanan have the keach to be oker a dover min haTorah. Now remember that we explained yesterday that the main point over here is that this is a profoundly central issue to Masechet Yevamot. And we see today that we're going to even go through the way that the Torah provides for the akira of divrei Torah when necessary. And that idea is firmly entrenched in the underlying concept of Yibo. Because remember that the Torah makes a tremendous stress on the Isra Arayas, saying that the Isra Arayas is central to Yerushas Eretz Yisrael, according to Ibn Ezra. It's even the reason that we go over the Dinim of Arayas again in order to be Merakes, all of the issues of Knesset Laaretz in one place, together with Shemitah V'Yovel and stuff like that. And somehow or other, we find that it's not only mutter to be over on the Yisr of Arayas, it's a mitzvah to be over on the Yisr of Arayas. And not only that, but before the Torah was given, where the concept of Arayas was something that was given even to Bnei Noach, it was a mitzvah and understood. How the heck do we understand? I don't know. It was understood that in the event that the world needs rebuilding through Yibam, and this was the story of Benot Lot, and this was before Kabbalah Satir, and this was the story of Yehuda and Tamar and so on, which leads to the Geula, which means that the Geula itself is dependent on our getting to the bottom of the issues that have to do with the way that something that seems to be fundamentally wrong becomes fundamentally right. This is deeply part of understanding Yibum, which is why the sugya over here that has stretched itself to see how it is that the concepts of Yibum apply across the board wants to see, and particularly we saw the similarity to the issues of Kahuna and Achilas Truma, wants to continue on now to see, do we in fact actually engage with the same issue when we deal with a drabbanan that is able to be oiker the Torah, because somehow or other the Torah is built upon the need for akira when it's necessary. Now, when it's necessary may not be the same thing as making a permanent takana, obviously. These are all things that we're going to be talking about today. What's very interesting is that, this is fascinating, there's a tshuva of Reb Moshe Feinstein, and that tshuva was written to the Secretary of State in response to a question, a shaila that was sent by the American Secretary of State to Reb Moshe Feinstein. You imagine? What was the shaila that he had? The shaila was, what is the Jewish view? Can you tell me what the Jewish view is of capital punishment? Because this was a big issue at the time. So we're going to see today how it is that the Gemara actually provides us information on this issue, which Rav Moshe quotes in his tshuva. So let's take a look at today's continuation of the Rav Chista's search for proof that the Rabbanan have a right to be oiker dover min haTorah. So as I said, up until now, Rav Chista's looked at mamzer mizeh mizeh. The answer was einan os mamzeres. He's looked at yoresh ishto ktana. The answer to that was hefker bez din hefker. We looked at the issue of being metame, a kohen being metame to ishto ktana. We answered that by saying it's a meis mitzvah. Then he talked about ochelet betruma. The answer to that was it's only referring to achilas truma min rabbana. Okay. Now, let's take a look at this halach, Tashma. So today's daf adds a new truma raya to Rav Chista's repertoire. And we'll have to see how we get out of this one. Tashma, achar truma tmiya, mishalem chulin tohorim, shilem chulin tmiyim. First of all, let's remember what we're talking about. The halacha is dealing with over here a zar who eats truma bishoge. So the Torah says he has to replace the truma. Plus, he has this knas, kamishito, and so on and so forth. And the question is, what if he ate truma tameya? The halacha is, even though what he ate was tame and was not fully usable by the kohen for achila, he is supposed to pay back the chulin, which are tahorim. And then those chulin become truma when he gives it to the kohen, but that's what he's mechuyev to pay. If he paid back chulin tameim, what's the din? So Sumcha says that Rebbe Meir said it depends. If he paid it back b'shogeg, then it actually becomes truma, that chulin. But if he paid back chulin tameim b'mezid, then ain't tashlum af tashlumi. The Chachamim say it doesn't matter. Whether he did it b'shogeg, b'mezid, the din is that the chulin is tashlum af tashlumi, but he has to go back and pay again the Chulin Torah. And this is very similar to the sugya that we had at the original, looking into the Shita of Rav Chista in Masechet Truma. Now, the problem is over here, before we get to Rav Chista's proof, we need to understand how this braita works out, because as stated, it doesn't really make any sense. And indeed, we asked over there, Havinan ba, why would Rebbe Meir say that if he did it b'mezid, ain't tashluma of tashlumin? Why? Tavolav bracha. This is a lovely guy. He did something beautiful. I mean, he didn't do the very best, but listen. He ate truma tameya. The kohen, what would the kohen have been able to do with that truma tameya? He wouldn't have been allowed to eat it, right? So he took something that would not have been roy for the kohen at any time. Even if the kohen was to be made tumato, he can't eat truma tameya. And he pays him back chulin, which are Tumeim, but chulin which are tumeim can be eaten by the kohen if the kohen is in a state of tuma anyway, so he needs something tame to eat. So this guy's doing him a wonderful favor. He's giving him back more than he took. He took, and if you take a look at the monetary issue, my gosh, he took something that had very little value. I mean, what's the value of a piece of bread to burn in your oven to get as fuel, for God's sake? And he gave him back something that has a lot of value, right? He gave him back something that is even royal achila, or at least it's not usur to zorim, so it has higher market value, even if you want to look at it after it was made truma, as Tosis points out. Fine. So he's a good man. Well, we're going to give him a knas because he did something that was better for the kohen. The Omar Rava, and Rava said, yes, of course, you're absolutely right. The girsa that you have here is missing a piece, which makes it very clear. What the Braita is missing are the following words. It should read like this. Ochal truma tumea, now put in the words. Mishalem kol duhu. You could pay whatever you want. Even lechatchila. You could pay chulin tumea because you're doing him a favor. If he was ochal truma tahera, then he has to pay chulin tahori. Now, come back to the Braita. What if he paid? Now here we finally get to the real Braita. Once we look at the real Braita, we'll look at Rav Chista's proof that he could be Oker Dovra Minatera. If he pays him back Chulin Tumeim, what's the din? So Sumchas quotes Rabbi Meir as saying, if he did this by accident and he didn't know that it was Tameis, then Tashluma var Tashlumi. But if he did it b'mezit, then ain't Tashlumi Tashlumi. And the Chachomim say it doesn't matter. In either event, Tashlumav Tashlumim, but he has to go back and re-give him again Chulin Taherim. Now, here's my proof, says Rav Chista. Now, how do you guys explain Rabbi Meir, gentlemen, huh? How come it arises at Tashlumav or Tashlumim Aalyo? Remember that we said before, Nesias Chet Minayin. If you're going to tell me that somebody who takes off from the Ra Ala Yafeh is not really going to turn it into Truma, how do you explain the pasuk that says, there's no chet because the truma wasn't chal. So obviously the truma is chal. Nonetheless, you're telling me, according to Sumchas B'Shem Rabbi Meir, you paid something that midiraisa is truma, and the chachomim come along and they say, ain't truma, so truma. Now, I have a little bit of a problem with this, says Rav Chista. Let's imagine a case where the kohen took that truma, and he was Makadosh and Isha with it. Now, here they are, man and loving wife, and all of a sudden, they get a telegram from the Rabbanan, you guys are hereby not married, because we made a takana that ain't tashlum of tashlumim. What? Okay, so now the Chachamim came along, and they were matir and ashes each to the world. Yes, she can go out and marry whoever she wants, because we decided that ain't tashlum of tashlumim. And your mater kasharina neshet ish la'alma, and as Tosis points out, it doesn't make sense to use the good old standby heter of bleep, hefker bezen hefker. No, because, I mean, why would we do hefker bezen hefker as a knas to the poor kohen? What, we're going to be mafker his mammon? That doesn't make any sense. He didn't do anything wrong. Why would we be mafker his mammon? So there must be some other issue over here. So you see that the chachamim can be oker adavra menatera. Ha! Says Rabbi, no. When it says ain't tashlum of tashlumin, that Rabbi Meir said, he didn't mean literally that it's not considered to be truma. He meant, of course, it's considered to be truma, but it's not considered to be repayment. He has to go ahead and repay again. That's all that it meant. Oh, come on, man. Then that's the same thing that the Rabbanan say. So what's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim over here? Whether it was done b'shogeg or b'mezid, I don't understand. You're telling me that when the Chachomim said tashlum of tashlumim, v'yachzor v'yishalim, and that's what Rabbi Meir says. That's right. Exactly. The only difference is whether that's true even b'shogeg. That's all. That's the difference. So according to Rabbi Meir, b'shogeg, you do not have to go back and pay again. And according to the Chachomim, even b'shogeg, you have to go back and pay again. What's wrong with that? So the machlokas is precisely what it says. The difference between shogeg and mezid. And therefore, see that inside? Iochi, Sumchas is saying the same thing that the Rabbanan is saying. Omer v'achabereder v'ika. No, they're not. They're arguing about whether kansin and shogeg ought to mezid. That's the difference, which is a common machlokas. So according to Rabbi Meir, the way Sumchas is quoting Rabbi Meir, there is no knas of yachzor v'yishalim in a case of shogeg, and according to the Chachamim, there is. Yeah, says Rav Chista. All right, I've got another proof. Okay, here's my next proof. Tashma. The halacha is that dam of a korban that became tummy, and the kohen goes ahead and he zorek it on the mizbeach. What's the din? Well, if it was done b'shogeg, so then it's hurtza. if it's bemezid lohu. It's okay, we won't get into a machlokas over here about how it became tame b'shogeg bemezid, just about the zrik. Now, if the dam was put on the mizbeach, then midiraisa, I really don't care if it's shogeg or mezid. Why? Because we know that the tzitz is meratze on dam that is tame, whether it was put there b'shogeg or bemezid, because take a look at the braita, the tanya. Midiraisa. Amahat tzitz meratze. Ala dam, vala basar, vala chelev, shenitma, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'ones, bein b'rotzen, bein b'yochid, bein b'tzibur. Doesn't matter. As far as the Torah is concerned, perfectly kosher. Come along to Chachamim and say, no. If you did it on purpose, the carbon is not mutter. You have to go bring another carbon. Oh, great. You're going to bring another carbon, and you're going to bring carbon of Chulin Lazora. That's a big tikkun that the Rabbanon have. So obviously it means that the Rabbanon can be Eker Adavar, that is, Midiraisa kosher. They turn it not to be, and they're telling you to be Mechalal Lebizbeach by bringing Chulin Lazora. How do you explain that? Says Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, that's not because they could be Eker the Din. When it says over there, Lo Hurtza, doesn't mean bring another carbon. It means Lo Hurtza Lahatir Basar Ba'achila. They can't eat this meat. That's all that they said. But of course the Balim were Nishapru. The Rabbanim would never be Mechayev you to bring a carbon that you're not Chayev. That's ridiculous. Okay, fine, said Rabbi Chista. So what? Bottom line is, we're telling people not to eat the basar of the carbon, which is a mitzvah saseh. And the Rabbanan are saying, don't do a mitzvah saseh. All right? So you see that Chachamim can be ochre. Sof kam is akra achilas basar. The Torah says, ve'ochlo otam asher kupar behem, which means melamit shakonim ochlimu ba'alim mitchaprim. And the Torah, and the Chachamim say, don't worry about the Torah. You do it your way. We've decided that it's not kosher, even though the Torah says it is kosher, so you can't be Mekayim the mitzvah achila. Omar Leis, Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, said to Rav Chisto, hey man, we're not talking about these cases at all. I thought you were saying that the whole point is that you're claiming that the Rabbanan had a right to be Eker Adavram and Atara, meaning that you are positively doing something. Now, over here, you're saying passively, they told you that it's not kosher meat, and therefore the meat won't be eaten. They didn't tell you to go ahead and do something wrong, did they? They said sit down and don't do something right. Now, we never argue about that. Shave out Asa Shiny. It's always been understood that if I'm simply telling you something which then indirectly causes a mitzvah not to be mekuyam, that's not going out against the Torah. That's creating a situation where it turns out that the Torah isn't mekuyam. But you were looking for proof, and all of your proofs, the din of a mamzer, you said, can marry a mamzer, that was a mistake. You said, Yerusha, that's because Hefker Bess and Hefker. You said you can be metame to a woman as a kohen that you're not really married to. That's because it's a meitz mitzvah. You said that she's a chelos b'truma. That's only truma to rabbanan. You said that you can't be mekadesh and isha. It didn't mean that. It meant you go back and pay. You said that you're mayo chulin lazora. No, it didn't mean that. It means you don't eat. So, this, not to eat a sheva al tasa. Oh, says Rav Chista, darn it. I had a bunch of rayas, and now you just messed them all up. That's terrible. You know what? I'll tell you what I was going to tell you. At least I can't resist. I mean, it's like I really had an arsenal over here. I'll tell you what I was going to ask you from. I figured I'd really pin you down. You know, so I was going to ask you first from the din of Oral. So the halacha is over there that if somebody is megayer on Erev Pesach, since the Rabbanon would go so that call a poresh mina or like a poresh mina kever, and you have to go and be toivel and become tohar. So because of that, this guy on Erev Pesach is going to miss out on a korban Pesach because of some crazy gezeira de Rabbanon. How do you explain that? I was going to ask you, you know? And I was going to ask you about the Rabbanon say you can't do Azah on Shabbos. Even though if it's Shabbos and you don't do Azah, the guy's not going to be able to bring his korban Pesach. How do you explain that? I was going to ask you about an Ismail. You're not allowed to carry an Ismail for a Brit Milah. You're going to be Mavatel Brit Milah because of an Isser Drabonin of Erevin. You know, we're talking about like some of the Rabbanan came up with this new idea of a different Rishos. Now we're going to be Mavato Mitzvah of Milah. I mean, we're talking about big, heavy-duty mitzvahs over here. Chi of Kores for Milah. Chi of Kores for Pesach. The Rabbanan just go along and Mavato it. Huh? I thought that was pretty good. Dan was going to ask you from the fact that the Rabbanan said when you're wearing a beged that's made out of linen, you don't have to put on tzitzis. Don't have to. That's right, because we're nervous. What if you put on tzitzis and you end up wearing that beged with, at a time, or depending on the shita, where you're not chayev at tzitzis, and you're going to be over on kilayim, and you're going to put in better not put in tzitzis at all. So Rabbanan are going to tell a guy to go walking around like a goy, and to be wearing, look at this, he's wearing his tzitzis out. There's only one problem, there ain't no strings on him. So what are you going to do with that, huh? I figured I had you really. And then I was going to ask you about kivsei atzeret. I mean, that's like an unbelievable situation. The Torah says that on Shavuos, you're supposed to be bringing the special kivsei atzeret, the only shlomim that are brought by a tzibur, right? And the halacha is that over there, if you went ahead and you bring it shelo lishma, so the halacha is that we said, if you did it shelo lishma, then even though they're not ole labalim l'shem chova, but nonetheless, that you should eat it like a regular shlomim. So it's like a general din of shlomim that are brought shelo lishma. But then the din is that if it was on Shabbos, so then you shouldn't bring it. Don't put the blood on the mizbeach. Don't eat the basar, because you can't bring a shlomim on Shabbos, can you? But the Torah says that you should, basically, right? Because the isser putting this dam on the mizbeach is some type of rabbanon. So it means that you're canceling all of the mitzvahs, bringing the carbon and being mala the carbon and the achila of the carbon over here is supposed to be eichel, and you said don't do it. Ridiculous. I was going to ask you about shofar and Rosh Hashanah that came out on Shabbos. How do you cancel shofar? I was going to ask you about lulav on Shabbos. How do you cancel lulav on Shabbos? I thought I really had it. Absolutely. I mean, I was going to come at you slow, you know, see whether you come up with any answers. Now you killed me. You killed me. Now you, in one fell stroke, you threw out all of my rayas. Because every single one of these things is a sheval tasis. But still I have proofs, okay? That's just part of my arsenal. Now I'm going to continue. The Torah says that if a Navi tells you something, komoni, elav tishma'un, listen to him. Now we darshan from that. Afilo omer lecha. Avor alachat mikol mitzvot shebatorah, kigon Eliyahu b'har Karmel, hakol lefi sha'ah shmalo. So if a navi tells you, ignore this mitzvah, bekum vaaseh. I'm going to shave out that stuff. Okay, it's akira. So Eliyahu Navi says, let's bring a carbon outside of Beis Hamikdash. That's serious stuff. That's a real violation. Nonetheless, the pasuk says, elav tishma'un, do it anyway. Now, what does that show you? Obviously, it shows you that you are, now this is not so obvious, what's obvious? What does this have to do with the din that the Chachamim are able to do what a Navi does? I mean, not to mention the fact that it says over here, Lefi Sha'ah. Lefi Sha'ah means that it's only Hora'at Sha'ah, not a Takona. You're telling me that the Rabbanu can make a Takona to be Yoker, and over here it's not talking about a Takona. So there's two issues that are very important over here. One is that obviously Rav Chisda understood Lefi Sha'ah not to mean temporarily. He understood Lefi Sha'ah to mean if something is necessary because of the development of society in time, then you can deal with it at the time that it needs to be dealt with. Okay? That's what it means. So that it does not mean, but it can only be a temporary kind of thing. That was, first of all, his mistake. Later on, we'll be attacking that. Secondly, as Tosis explains over here, the keach of a Navi to be oiker a dover min ha-Torah cannot be based on the din of a Navi. Because a Navi never has the right to say anything that was different than the words of Moshe Rabbeinu in the first place. That's the eker point of the whole inyan of believing Moshe Rabbeinu for the Navi. Where the heck would a Navi get a right? I don't care if it's 10 seconds. Where would a Navi have any right to be mevatel din in the Torah? I don't care what it's for, unless that's a built-in halacha in how the Torah was given, you see? So then if that's the case, then it has nothing to do with his being a Navi. It has to do with his being able to utilize the dinim of the Torah as necessary when necessary. But then that would mean that Beis Din would also have that koyach. So therefore, I don't really need to look for the din of the Navi. And therefore, Tosfos says, so why do I need Dafke Freilio to be a Navi? You see that he had to be a Navi. So that, says Tosfos, that's because you can't do something that might not work. You might be messing people up by doing this little trick. I'm going to do a trick. We'll bring a carbon and we'll see if the fire comes down from the heavens. What, are you crazy? If you're a Beis Din, you can't do that. That's nuts. So obviously you have to be a Navi to know that that's going to be good. I mean, it ain't going to work necessarily, right? Okay, so of course he needs to be a Navi. But as far as the din of being Doicha, the din of the Torah, must be built into the Torah that that's possible. So you see that I'm right? No, says the Gemara, you don't see that you're right. Because over there, it's different because it says, Elav Tishmaun, which means that there, in fact, is such a halacha, that the Torah can be mevatel a halacha when needed, but only because he's a Navi and there's a special mitzvah that says, I'll be a Navi, you can do that. Well, I understand. Why don't we learn from it? V'ligmar minei, says Reb Chista. I mean, where would a Navi get a different din than a Beis Din? Let's learn from that, that a Beis Din could do the same thing. Says Rabbi, well, okay, fine. The truth is that you can, but the issue is that it's only Migdar Milsa. I mean, that's for something where everything is being done in such a way that the world is going to collapse, you know? So in order to make sure that things or a different halacha will be forgotten or people will be over and say, okay, so the Migdar Milsa, when things are out of control, so then that you're allowed to do. But that, I mean, this is machlokas, whether this really means L'migdar Milsa only as a Hirat Shah, or whether we're talking about over here, that's many Rishonim said that this is just the din of a Hirat Shah. But others learn that even if it's a takana L'migdar Milsa, like the case where we said you have to be Chozer V'Torein because people don't care about being Tomei or Tahar, that also would be Mutter. Okay, says Rav Chista, you know, you guys are putting me through the ringer over here. I got it. This is like the ultimate, okay? Listen to this. This is an amazing thing. Tashma. We know that we have this amazing takona, all right? And this was a takona. It used to be that if you really want to mess up your wife because you hate her guts, so what you could do is you could send her a get with a shliach. Then the shliach leaves the house. You bring together a Beis Din, and you tell the Beis Din, I hereby cancel that get. Or some Rishonim say you can only cancel the Shlichut, but not the get. But in any event, the get won't be a kosher get. Woman gets get, figures, ha, thank God I'm rid of that idiot, goes and marries somebody else, and a year later he says, oh, gee, what a nice baby you have with that guy. What a mamzer. What are you talking about, a mamzer? You sent me a get. No, it's mevatel that get. Here I have the Beis Din that will tell you the get was batel. Too bad for you, honey babes. Okay. So what happened was, in order to avoid that, Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein made a takana that you cannot be mevatel a get unless you call the woman in and tell her that you're being mevatel the get, or tell the shliach that you're being mevatel the get before the get is delivered. And there, what would be the din if you did? So if you're mevatel the get, bitlo. So Rebbe says, well, I mean, if you did, you did. I mean, we couldn't turn a kosher get into a non-kosher get. So, I mean, a non-kosher get into a kosher get. So it's mevutal, says Rebbe. Says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, you can't do a darn thing. Once you gave that get to a shliach, you cannot be mevatel the get if you're not with your wife or with the shliach. You can't even add some type of tanai or add to the tanai. If the tanai was, if you pay me $100 and you'll turn it into $100 at 25 cents, you can't do anything like that because in kain makor betin yafeh, I don't understand. We have a Beis Din of Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein that says you can't do it. And Rebbe says, yeah, well, okay, if you did it, you did it. Well, that's crazy. So then what's the point of making a takana? Therefore, it must be that it's a kosher get.
What?
You gave your wife a get that is pasul midiraisa. And because of makor bes and yofeh, says Reb Chista, you are telling that woman she can go and marry another guy because it's a kosher get. You made a non-kosher get kosher, and you gave an eishes ish to marry to the world without blinking an eye. Ha! That proves my point, that you can do something with a kum v'aseh. This, by the way, is a fascinating situation, because it's a way to make a mamzer a non-mamzer. If you think about it. So, first let's talk about how this is possible. So Rabbah says, there's a reason for this. It has nothing to do with being oker. This is a special case. Because man de mekadesh, remember, hareyat mekudeshet li, Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. What's this Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael? You're taking a wife, you're not taking a wife. God's not good enough for you. The Rabbanan have to approve your marriage. The society has to approve your marriage. If anyone objects, or forever hold your peace. What, this is what, a church wedding that we're making over here? Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. What's going on over here? Ah. Because called the Mekadesh Adai to the Rabbonan Mekadesh, the nature of Kedushin of necessity involves a relationship with the entire social structure of what constitutes a woman and how the Rabbonan make that Kedushin part of. Note the deep similarity to the issues of Yibum again. Bishar Mikomo. Yitin Hashem et Aisha Baal Toch Beitecha. The approval of society. Everybody has to stand there. The din of Yibum, in which Chalutzanal has to be said by the entire community, everyone that's standing there, Beit Chalutzanal. What is all of that? Oh, so the idea of these interrelationships are profound elements of the entire structure of society. Therefore, since anybody who gives Kedushin does so on the das of the way that the Rabbanan view this Kedushin, in this case, if a guy goes out and he's mevatel the get, then you know what happens? It's not that Rabbanan said that a no good get is a good get. The Rabbanan said, we do hereby annul your marriage from the first place. You never were married to this woman. Now remember, if the guy was never married to this woman and she went and lived with someone else and had a little mamzer, that mamzer is suddenly, retroactively, not a mamzer. Right? So now the question is, okay, let's imagine cases where, which happens unfortunately very often in a modern society, some boy comes into the yeshiva and we find out his mother is married to, did her previous husband give her a get? I don't know. They weren't religious. Of course they didn't get a get. So then the kid is a mamzer. So what are we going to do for this poor boy? So there's a very big machlokas, because many Rishonim say you're not allowed to do this, and the Rabbanu weren't mafkia kedushin in a case where it's matir amamzer. But nonetheless, there are those who hold. So what you can do is you can tell the original husband, and of course this is not an easy thing to do, but it's done. You know, you really have to divorce your wife, and it's very easy. Just give the shliach a get, you know. And if you don't want to really give that get, just cancel it after you give it to the shliach. Okay, so then the guy cancels the get, which annuls his marriage, which means that her mother was never married to the first husband, didn't need a get. And now, poof, the magic wand has turned this fine yeshiva bacher into a wonderful shliach. Not bad, huh? Anyway. So this is a special halacha of Avkinu Rabbanan Kedushin Minei. That's why. Wait a minute. Hold on, says Ravina. I'm a little Ravina Ravashi. I mean, I understand Avkinu Rabbanan Kedushin Minei in the event that the original marriage was done with a ring or with money, whatever, Arayat Mekudeshetli. I mean, I can understand that then the Rabbanan would say, because remember, the Rabbanan need a mechanism, right? You can't just say Avkinu Rabbanan Kedushin Minei. We always said that. So, I mean, I understand that the Rabbanan would say, well, you know, you gave the guy, you gave the girl money, or you gave her a ring. That was a lovely gift to give her. Okay, the Rabbana can say, we view the interaction as a gift kind of relationship. I mean, we call that interaction intercourse. It was an intercourse of money. But what if it was a real intercourse, a sexual intercourse? Or what if he was Makadish Bibia? Kiddish Bibia, Ma'ikala Memar, you gave her a wonderful gift? I mean, I understand. How are we going to look? The nature of Bia is that it is involved in Ishus. So what is the guy saying? The guy is saying that this act makes you my wife. And like, so how are they going to change that? What do you mean? They'll say it was a lovely casual night. That's all that they'll say. So the Rabbanan say, okay, Shavina Rabbanan Labilato Bilatznut. So we can view the actual intercourse as being a casual relationship. That doesn't bother me. Okay, that's one of the approaches over here to Ravina's question. You understand that Ravina's question is a little bit weird. I mean, if the Rabbanan have a Keach Lafkina Kiddushim, why do we really think it would make an afkamina whether it was done with Kesev or whether it's done with Bia? So this seems to be Rashi's approach. When it comes to, there's no mechanism because it's clear what it is that this is about. Others learn, I mean, there's a Shita that says that what Ravina thought was that when we say that somebody gives over his marriage to the Rabbanan, it's because we're dealing with something that the Rabbanan have to define as marriage. I mean, what does giving a ring to a girl have to do with marrying her? I mean, having intercourse with a girl, I understand what that has to do with marrying her, but what in the world would a ring have to do with it? So when it comes to giving her a ring, giving her money, there I understand that the idea is that the person gives over his das to the Rabbanan who defined marriage in that way. But where I don't need the Rabbanan to define marriage. I took her to bed, for God's sake. I know exactly what I'm doing. So maybe over there, obviously, if he had said, Beferish, listen, I'm only taking you to bed with the das of the Chachamim. I mean, yes, I understand. And even though he said, Areyat Mekudeshet Li Bebiazu, which he has to say, but he doesn't really mean it in the same way they do it with money. Okay, that's a different approach to why Ravina asked the question. But nonetheless, Rav Chista, you're up the creek, and you do not have a raya from here, okay? Because Kedushin is a special situation. Okay, says Rav Chista, I got another proof. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I heard, meaning that I was Mekabel, from my Rabbein, that Beit Din makin va'onshin shalom in HaTorah, that Beis Din can do whatever they want, they can even kill people against the Torah. V'lo la'avor al divrei Torah, they don't do this in order to be over, they do this in order to make the siyag Torah. And I could tell you an actual Maisa Shoya. There was a guy who was driving a horse on Shabbos during the days of the Greeks where we were extremely sensitive to mityavnim, and to the encroachment of Greek culture into our world. So this guy goes prancing down the street on Shabbos with a horse. I mean, what's the big deal? The Rabbanan make this crazy gezeira that maybe you'll rip off a piece of wood and you'll use. I mean, this is a reason not to drive a horse on Shabbos. I mean, come on, you know. I've got a beautiful whip. I'm going to, ridiculous. They brought him to Beis Din and they gave him skila. As if he was Mechallel Shabbos. Are you allowed to give skila? You're allowed to kill people? And Beis Din went ahead. Lo mipnei sharo'u l'kach. Obviously, he wasn't chayiv. It was a small issur d'rabbanan. But hasha'at tzricha l'kach. It was necessary in order to establish an important insight into what Shabbos means to us and what Greek culture doesn't mean to us. And there was another mice. A guy went ahead and he had sex with his wife in public, underneath this fig tree, in a park, a public park. That's not nice. Okay, it's not nice. All right, fine. I understand it's not nice. I mean, but what are we supposed to do about it? Have the moral police going through every lover's lane? But nonetheless, they went ahead and they brought him to Beis Din and they gave him Malkus. We beat the guy up. How do you beat a guy up? People were becoming lax in their displays of sexuality in public, and therefore it was considered to be necessary to put a stop to it. That's all. And so you see from here that the Chachamim can do whatever they want to be Oiker the Torah. So, am I right or am I right, says Rav Chista. Wrong, says Rabbah. Wrong. because all of this is Lemigdar Milta. And we already understood before that Lemigdar Milta is actually considered to be something that is given b'kayach, either to a Navi or to a Besdin. There's a big machlokas even in terms of, like, what Besdin do we mean? Is this something, first of all, we said before, is it Migdar Milza permanently? Is it Migdar Milza only as a Rosh Shah? This is a machlokas Rishoni. What darga of a Besdin is required in order to make such a thing? This is also a big machlokas. Can you be Migdar Milza in terms of a Rosh Shah Bizman Hazeh? I mean, the Chabiner has a tshuva that if somebody was not listening to Besdin and was in Nidui, and they ossered this guy, they ossered every male in town from being Mala's child. To be Mavato Mila, in terms of a Migdar Milza, which is a recent thing. Okay, all kinds of machlokas, and there's a Taz that says it can't be Beferish, something that's in the Torah. If it's Beferish, we don't do it. Obviously, when it comes to Mominus, we have our special halacha of the Hefker Bez and Hefker. When it comes to Kedushin, we have our special halacha of called the Mekadesh, Adai to the Rabbona Mekadesh. So there's all kinds of issues that we have over here. And then we have this general din, which is extremely important. And this was the letter that, as I mentioned before, that Rav Moshe wrote back as a tshuva to the American Secretary of State. What is our opinion about the dinim of Chiyav Misa? So first he explained to him all of the halachas of Edus and Hasra, and the Besdin that kills Achas B'Shiv, and so on and so forth. That's our general halacha. But then he wrote to him the following lashon. So his lashon is like this. Kol zeh hu, kishelo hufkar isur haretzicha, avo misha oreg nefashot machmat shufkar etzlo isur haretzicha, vu akzari biyoter, or at a time, kishenit rabu arotzchim v'osei risha, Hayudanim lemigdar milta limnoa maaseh retzicha shehu hatzalat hamedina. That obviously we're not going to limit ourselves to such things. When it becomes necessary to remove madmen, you know, what is it? I forgot how the poem goes, but never prevent a psychopath from pursuing his vocation. Something like that is how it ends. That when we're dealing with psychopaths or whatever it is, of course we're mechuyev to save society. So there's two completely different issues over here. If you want to establish a law that you're going to define things as a normal killing of people, that's something else. But if a jury or a besdin of yours will decide that this is something that is necessary for the survival of society and so on, our opinion is that it's perfectly okay and it's dafka what you want to do, says Rav Moshe. So obviously he extends the din of Lemigdar Milta even into the din of Ben Noah. Because, I mean, he's writing this to what he is suggesting that the Hanhog of the United States should be. So that means that this is the end. Okay, Rav Chisda gives up at this point. But meanwhile, beautifully, the Gemara has examined every different way in which the Torah includes within it the idea of it's not being binding under any and all circumstances. And that all ultimately... And that's the Heferu Torah Techa. That's built into the nature of the Takonas, which, of course, remember that where we learned that out from is from Boaz. When he's coming to be telling everybody about this Yibum, he also goes there, Hashem Imachem. But you're not allowed to use Hashem's name casually, says the Gemara. You see from here, oh, there we go. So that is the Heferu Torah Techa. You can make a takana to be oikar, the din of the way in which you use the Shem Hashem, and that is Bechayev, at the same moment of Yibum. Come on, guys, that's incredible. Okay, so clearly we're talking about an unbelievably beautiful Yibum Sugya. Great. All right, anyway, so this ends Rav Chisda's attack. So let's go back. We were still in the middle because we were talking about all of the different things that we do to this woman. We mentioned there were 16 different things. So one of them was continuing on from, we talked about earlier, the bon of mizeh, 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 eino lo ktuva, the lo ditzon, et sofa, filo belos, any of the ktunayek silva. Let's continue. So the Mishnah continued on by saying, velo zeh, vizeh metamim la, in the event that she had been married to Kohanim, they're not allowed to attend the funeral. How do we know this? Well, take a look at the pasuk. Bichtiv. Ki im l'she'ero ha'karov elav. So it says, lo yitameh. This is the Kohen. Ki im l'she'ero ha'karov elav. And that, who is she'ero ha'karov elav? We use the lush of she'er to mean shared flesh, which is ishto. So amar mar, she'ero zo ishto. From where we see that he is supposed to go to a wife's funeral. And yet, we also have a pasuk that says, lo yitama ba'al be'amav lehechalo, that actually he is not allowed to be metame himself as a husband. So make up your mind. Clearly, yesh ba'al she'mitame v'yesh ba'al she'eno mitame. How do we understand it, therefore? That in the event that he's married to a woman that is not roy to him, which is lehechalo, he should not go to the funeral. Okay, so mitameu leishto kishera ve'eno mitame leishto psula. So over here, where we're considering this woman to be an adulteress, even though chas v'sholom, that wasn't her intent, and so on and so forth, she got married to the other guy based on eid echad, therefore he's considered to be lehechalo. And then we said lo zeveze zaka'in b'mitziyata. So the mitziyata, now on the surface, this is not something that's bad, right? I mean, she should be happy. Okay, so now if I find something, I don't have to give it to that bum. Okay, so good. So now she's happy, right? But we're calling this as one of the things that undermine her. So time of my, why, what's the basis of it? So time of my omer abonu mitziyati shalabala. The reason that we gave him, even in the event that he's not supporting her, which is the case over here, because she doesn't have a zonah. But normally, we give the mitziyat isha l'ba'ala, and that's even in a case where a woman went to work and she says, I don't want your lousy support, I'll support myself, which she's allowed to do. Remember, any of these takonas are takonas for a woman, not against a woman. So if she says, I don't want your support, keep your money and I'll keep my salary and keep your dirty paws off of my salary. I'm making three times what you're making anyway. So that's perfectly all right. Obviously. So then what happens if she wins the lottery? So you think she can keep it? No. Because we have a separate takona to have a mitziah even in that case. Why? Because ki heichi lo ta'avile eva. It's bad enough when a guy wins the lottery that the whole country goes out to kill him, including the IRS, and so on and so forth. But his wife's, her husband is going to go out to kill her. What? You won the lottery and I'm sitting here and I can't pay my taxes? That is certainly the end of her husband. Because he's going to get rid of her. So the whole thing was in order that the marriage should last, but we don't want the marriage to last. So hakata hevi le'eva ve'eva, let them hate each other. So ultimately, I mean, it looks like it's something good for her, but in the end, it's destructive to her marriage. That's the point, and that's what we're trying to achieve with our 16 things. The next thing is, he doesn't have any rights to her earnings. Taima mayom rabbanam aisiya de'levala, mishum de'kachli mizone. She is supported by him, and therefore he has a right to her salary. But also given him his own letla, maaseya dea lavdi day. This is part of the fact that she can't get anything from him. So basically, we're telling you, you're entirely on your own. And he's not allowed to be made for her nadorim. Why is that? Because time of my omer achmana baal mefer. Where do we get the idea that there's afaretz nedarim? The Torah said so. But the Torah didn't say he could just take care of any neder that she has. The Torah says that if it's dvorim shebeino leveina, and it's something that's going to affect their relationship, let's say she makes a neder, I'm not going to shower. You're not going to shower. You're nuts. You're going to shower. Okay. Or she says something that's going to betire her and is therefore going to impact him because he's going to have to sit there with a woman who's miserable and moaning and this is no good and that's no good, that he can also be made for. But that obviously if the Torah limits the afara to those kind of things, it's in order that his wife, Kadesha Lotit Ganalav, right? But over here, we're very happy. The more disgusting she is to him, the happier we are. So basically, we remove any point of her caring about her looks and so on and so forth. Okay, and we also have run out of time. Okay, fine. So we'll continue this next case, Bezrat Hashem, with Mitzoy Yontev.